Today I'm joined by Dr. Steve Eskel from the Pangea Network, who's someone I've known actually online for a long time. And Steve has always been a person who asks sometimes deep and difficult questions which cause me to think more deeply, and this is something I appreciate about Steve. So when he volunteered to do one of these podcasts about social media in international development, I immediately said yes even before we figured out what we might want to talk about. Dr. Steve, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I come out of academia. I was an academic bureaucrat for a long time, Nancy. I was president of Rockland Community College, which is one of the early community colleges of the State University of New York. And it was there that I got intrigued by the notion that we of the community college movement were keeping students in school and in their local community for another 2 years while people were talking about globalization. So the question sort of emerged, how do you give students an opportunity who've been rooted in one community for a long time, how do you give them an opportunity to learn about the rest of the world? So we began study abroad programs, service learning programs, which took students out of Rockland County and sent them around the world, often along with faculty. And then questions began emerging. If students are in Africa and we are in Rockland County, New York, how do you keep connected to them? How do you add an educational dimension to the human experience they're having? So that raised the question of sort of a technology partnering of real-life experience. So that's a bit of the background, Nancy.
Now you are doing work in Africa with various things, and so you're seeing, again, firsthand some of the implications of social media taken out of, often out of the context in which it was born, i.e. North America or Northern European culture, and plopped into a different culture. And the question, you know, I'd like to explore with you is, those of us from high bandwidth, wired communities may more easily see the role of social media in international development. However, that's usually driven by that northern experience, that culture, those values. So what do you think are the questions we should be asking about social media in international development that get beyond our own, often less relevant, experiences?
I think the most useful advice I can give is to delay choosing a medium or delay making any assumptions about which media are appropriate for the international situation until you get a clear sense of the ecology of the local situation. You don't start with the media, you start with the culture and getting yourself immersed in it. I think a useful term is the notion of mapping. You want to map the forms and forces in the milieu, in the environment you're going to be working with. For example, if you're going to be working in a rural community with illiterate market women who've never been to school, and that's very common in much of the Ghana in which we work, immediately you realize that you're going to have trouble starting with computers and illiterate medium that involves reading and writing. Cell phones might jump to mind, but you might want to delay even that decision until you've find out more about the forms and forces that impact on these women. Have they had any education at all? Do they go to church? Are there moneylenders or other institutional forces that they have to cope with? What about their husbands and family? And you get a sense of the ecology in which these women live, and you may end up deciding, here are some possibilities. One, they are using cell phones, and cell phones might be your social medium of choice, and there you're going to be using voice communication rather than our usual assumptions that we're going to be typing on a keyboard. Or you might not use any of the newer technologies at all. You might sell for community radio, because even in the communities that don't have regular and routine electrical supply, use battery-operated radios. So I think the best advice, I think, for people new to the environment and new to the international experience is to get immersed in the local culture, the institutions, the ways of life, and gradually possibilities for media use will emerge.
I'm sitting here at my desk nodding in agreement, which avoid the seduction of the technology.
Exactly right. That's a good way to put it.
You talked about the ecology. Say a little bit more about that, please.
Yeah. Suppose you learn that this is a matrilineal society, but a patriarchally organized society. Suppose you learn that the males in a marriage generate the children, but have very little else to do with family development. You've learned something that you might be able to use about that culture. Suppose you learn that in these villages, the notion of chieftain is still very much alive. There's a local chief, and he has power. And if you don't get to meet him and you alienate him, you won't be able to do very much useful work of any kind. You also find out that the government does or doesn't have programs there, that some NGOs or non-governmental organizations are operating there, that the World Bank or USAID has programs there. You slowly begin to fill in the blanks, and all of those are enormously valuable as you begin to narrow down to your social media choices.
Do you think when we come in, and we in quotation marks come in with these new media, it's another form of cultural imperialism?
It can be. In one sense, luckily, you won't get very far if you try to impose them on people who won't use them. Let me give you an example. There's been a great deal of attention and writing about telecenters, the notion that you get some knowledgeable, technically gifted people, you get them computers, etc., and then the local people are to come, and for a few CDs, which is local currency, they rent. The telecenter movement has been much publicized, but it hasn't gotten very far because the locals aren't very comfortable with it. The notion of using an intermediary agency does make sense. One possibility is to make friends with a local pastor or imam in a mosque, and these are people with background, and very often they are computer users, and you might be able to use them as intermediaries, get messages and socially useful information to them and their computers, and then they use oral communication to get it to the women. Or in some cases, you can actually get three or four computers in the church basement and create a kind of telecenter with the three or four people in the community who can use computers. Does that make sense at all?
It does. It speaks to ownership and people determining what they want and how they're going to get it versus coming in with some packaged slick solution.
Exactly right. You have to. This is what I mean by the mapping. You have to find out what's possible and plausible in this particular environment.
Which is true. Based on my values or beliefs for any kind of work, because we don't help people. We may just facilitate conditions wherein they can do what they need to do and want to do. But I think that now I'm dipping into philosophy about international development, which I should be careful before I go there. Do you have any stories where you have seen communities adopt some form of social media that has been particularly successful or useful to them?
Yeah. One of the notions that's useful is that in most communities, however rural or remote, there is a piece of the elite. There's somebody or a family where a son has been to university, either, let's say, in our environment in Ghana, or has been part of the diaspora and done a degree in the U.S. and then gone back to the home village. You can very often develop a program, including a computer lab, around one or more of these people who get interested in this. I can send you a website of a center we help, a computer center, teaching computer skills to children and women and others in a very remote section of northern or central Ghana. And this was done because one of the elders of the community had a son who was bright and a scholarship lad who did a first degree in Ghana and then did a doctoral degree in Washington University in Missouri, and then went back home to work with his people. People like this man, Ose Darkwa, are part of the diaspora for 5, 10, or 15 years, send money back home, and then very often they go back home to their villages or to Accra, but continue to work mm-hmm. for their own community's development. So you can very often build something with and around the pieces of elite that are in the, or let's say in, sometimes with the minister, there are always educated, knowledgeable people that you can find and build on.
Makes sense. So it's a way to begin or to continue a thrivability rather than let's drop in technology. So I think this is a good wrap-up part. I'll get that URL from you and make sure we package it up with the podcast. But thank you.